To the right, you... I mean, I think Preston, you would probably first be the person to kind of get the stench of, like animals, like unwashed animals. And then you all hear some like savage snarls and chains rattling off to the right. And then there's a path that continues down following the stream. Which way would we like to go?
Always go left.
Always left.
I'm gonna. Can I distract these snarling things?
Well, you don't see them. They're like coming from like the fork to the right. But it sounds like we want to keep going to the left, which yeah. I guess would just be straight. Like just like not even mess with that whole situation over that way. Yeah, we'll gloss right over that and keep following the main passage from the cave mouth, and it starts to climb pretty steeply upwards, and the stream right next to you guys is getting a little bit heavier the further you guys go up. You guys notice that... Everybody roll me a perception check real quick. Okay, now we're getting some... Okay.
Wow. No. Wow.
I was going to say, now we're getting some decent rolls. We're not,
Don't look
though.
At my roll.
I mean, again, I think it's Gore that's kind of... Damn, Preston has a +6 and still just rolled 11, which isn't terrible.
Squish did a 19, so he's probably going to see it better than me.
Yeah, Squish got a 19. Okay, so everybody did decent except for Brock.
I got a nat 1.
Yeah, with a nat 1. Okay, so two things. You notice that this passage continues to kind of round about to the right, you know, hugging the wall. On the left, everybody can see that there is a... It looks almost like a collapsed-in passageway. Like, there's, like a little rock slide thing that happened. And there's, like, a bunch of, like, loose pebbles that, like, go up somewhere to the left. Those who rolled above... So, Gore and Squish, you two would be able to see further into this cave... where the main passage that you guys are following goes and loops to the right, you see a bridge that's spanning across probably about 15 feet above where you guys are. And it spans from the right side of the cavern to the left side. And with your 18 and 19, you guys can make out some goblin ears and a little goblin head like kind of poking over the side of the bridge.
Do they see us?
No, it doesn't seem like they see you. You guys haven't lit any torches or anything. By the way, now that you guys are this far into the cave, it is now pretty dark. There is a torch on the bridge.
I've got something.
But it's all pretty dark in here. So I know Squish has dark vision.
Yeah, I have dark vision, but I'm going to cast Dancing Lights. It's a cantrip.
Where are you casting that at?
I'm going to turn it into a humanoid figure of lights and walk him across the bridge. It says that you can create up to 4 torch-sized lights and you can glowing vaguely humanoid form of medium size.
Okay.
Oh, whichever form you choose.
Do I have dark vision? Yeah.
Yeah, dwarves.
Shit, do Kinkus too? Maybe not. I don't know. What about bunnies?
You would think a bunny would. I mean, he lives in a hole.
I'm just going to cast him in the middle of the bridge. Just boop.
Hey, you said that dwarves, I guess it would be druids, but it says dwarven are proficient in battle axe, hand axe, and light hammer, and war hammer. Would the druid negate that because they don't like metal?
Yeah,
which is fine because I picked a quarterstaff and a maul, which I would assume would be like wood with like a stone on the end of it instead of metal.
Yeah. So what it says is it says armor, light armor, medium armor, shields, and then in parentheses it says druids will not wear armor or shields made of metal.
So you have wood.
Doesn't
shield.
Say anything about weapons, but I think it's just kind of a more of a you know, like a flavor thing that they just don't like metal. But, okay, let's go ahead and resolve this. So, Professor Squish, upon seeing this goblin up on this bridge, you make a humanoid of light appear. And as soon as it does, you hear... It sounds kind of like gibberish. Like... does anybody speak goblin?
I'm going to cast comprehend languages.
Yeah, God damn it.
Since I'm a dwarf, I am proficient in goblin speech.
Oh, well, why would being a dwarf...
I'm not going to do it. What? Since he does that.
I'm not.
Oh, no, okay.
I'm going to cast... I was so confused.
Like, comprehend languages and see what they're saying.
Well, Sean, make me a wild magic shit check thing.
Yeah.
14. Nope. Okay. All right. So now it's going to be ticked up to a 3. We are currently going to be on a 3. Okay. Yeah. You cast comprehend languages and you think you hear this goblin. It sounds like he's shouting like an alarm for intruders, and he's saying something about
backfire.
He's saying something about dump the water, dump the water, dump the water.
Can we kill him real quick?
Look, I saved us. He's going to dump water on us.
Squish, you could kind of translate this for everybody and let them know that apparently some water is about to get dropped, and he's yelling about intruders. So however you guys want to deal with this, you guys do now all see the goblin on the bridge because of Squish's light man. Who's up there, and who really, really scared this goblin.
Can we just shoot him off the bridge?
You can, yeah, sure as hell. You guys can all see this goblin now.
I'm going to cast Firebolt on the bridge.
On the bridge itself?
It's wooden.
Okay.
Yeah. Dang.
Let's do it.
Wow.
Guess roll for it. I guess roll to see if you can hit it. It's going to have a pretty low AC. A 22 is going to hit it. It does say you rolled a 1 point of damage.
Though. Yeah, but it's wood. And it's. I mean, I'll give
you.
Burn
you
up,
know what?
Dude.
Roll another D10. I'll give you as if it's vulnerable because it is. So it's going to be 8 points. So yeah, you hit this bridge square on, and it does start to catch. It's not like you like burn the whole bridge down in one firebolt, but there's some fire spreading across it now. And that goblin starts again shouting in goblin.
Can I shoot him?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
All right.
Wait, what are your arrow tips made out of?
What? Flint.
Bone.
Bone, flint. Anything he can get his hands on, really. This goblin is trying to run down to the southeast.
I rolled a 17.
17 will hit this dude. Okay, maybe he's not going to be running.
2 plus 2. So 4.
Okay. Not quite enough to take him out, but you definitely hear that the arrow made contact with him. And you see that he's starting to limp down to that bottom right passage from the bridge that's now actively on fire. Timing is going to be very important now. What is everybody doing? I will just go ahead and say that as this goblin is like, you know, kind of limping towards that exit, you guys do hear, it sounds like a hammer slam. And then you hear the telltale sound of rushing water coming down.
Like a lot of water.
Huh? Like a lot of water.
Let's cut to the left there and climb up that way. I'm going to turn that into a ramp with mold earth for us.
Oh, my God.
Dang.
I'm going to take my BMX bike to sit. Flip.
So we're just going to... It's going to be steps.
We'll say with the sound of the rushing water coming down, obviously there's no other combatants at the moment because that one goblin that you shot is trying to flee. You all are about just a little bit past the first entryway. Let's have everybody, as soon as Professor Squish clears up the rubble in the path and makes it into, like, stairs or a ramp, something easily accessible, let's just cut to the chase and have everybody roll a... I'll let you choose an athletics check or an acrobatics check to try to make it over there before this rushing water comes and takes you all down. Squish was a little bit too preoccupied making the ramp for everybody and got a 5. Preston got a 15. Gorglutton rolled the first bad roll of the night with a 5, and Brot got an 18. So what this is going to look like is you see this rushing water coming around the bend from further up the path. And it is just like it's almost like filling to the top of the cave mouth. And Preston and Brot, you're able to kind of bunny hop all the way across the creek and make it to the newly formed staircase. Preston, you're able to shimmy your way across to Squish and Gore. This water, as soon as, like, right before you get to this new pathway, the water is going to sweep you up. There's a lot of kind of, like, handholds along the rock wall. You guys can both make one final check, like a dex save or an athletics check to try to hold on.
The final check or you die.
Oh, no. Squish got an 8, and for some reason, Sean always rolls twice, and it rolled an 8 and then a natural 20, but we'll have to take that 8.
Why'd I have to be a raven? Why couldn't I have been a swan?
Oh, that would have been pretty fucking cool.
So, I'm just going to turn into a liquid so they don't see me when I get washed out.
Can I throw a rope to them with my boomerang?
You got a boomerang?
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
I just did my starting equipment.
15.
Gore is able to find some holds on the wall and grab on as the water washes past him.
I have both hands and a beak. I'm holding on my beak.
That's cool, but you guys do see your gooey friend just kind of go in that amorphous blob form and just get washed away.
I'm fine.
Outside of the cave. You will take a D6 of damage.
Oh, God.
You did.
3. So 3 points of damage as your jelly body is kind of getting racked across like rocks and shit, and you're getting pushed out. And now you're back outside of the mouth of the cave after the wave kind of finishes washing out.
I'm going to come back in.
You come back in. You're like 2 feet shorter. You're missing some of your mass. But you are able to kind of recoup with your friends who are on your pretty badass staircase you made for them.
I just keep picturing Alex Mack when he, like, turns into liquid form. He's chrome now. Sean's chrome.
So there are some people in this room, aren't there?
So as soon as Professor Squish catches back up with his friends, you guys wouldn't even have to, like, really listen super hard or make a perception check or anything. You guys can hear pretty rambunctious, like, voices coming from further up the path. You actually even can see the glow of some fire coming down from the end of the hallway, and you can smell some meat roasting.
Goblins roasting on an open fire.
Okay, I'm going to cast one of those light boys again. And make him walk from here to here to here.
Well, first, you guys are still at the mouth of this entrance. So you guys will have to try to sneak up a little bit.
I can see this right here.
So if you guys wanted to, we can start to sneak up a little bit more.
I take 3 steps forward and then I can see in that room.
Yes. So if you guys just went up just a little bit, you guys could see that it looks like this is like kind of the chill, like the break room, the chill room for these goblins.
The vibe room.
Nice. You can't quite see unless you walk up a little further so that you can see the bottom half of the room. But the top of the half of the room, you can see a fire roasting. You see a couple just basic bed rolls across the floor, and you see a total of probably, you know, maybe like 6 goblins hanging out by that fire. And I will just say that you see a staircase that goes up further somewhere.
Six. I'm going to cast the light boy right in the fire. To distract him.
And then, when he does that, I want to control the flames.
Oh, shit. It's going to look like some magic shit.
Expand the flame 5 feet in one direction, provided that wood or other fuel is present in a new location. Although that's transparent. But I can put a simple shape in there, such as a vague form of a creature.
Okay, I'm going to walk from one side of the cave to the other side, because it's only 30 feet.
So it sounds like you guys want to squish and Preston.
Yeah, you guys do your thing. I'm sitting in the back.
Try to distract these guys.
Yeah, together make dancing lights and also dancing fire and like scare them a little bit.
Can I pee while they do that?
Just confuse them, you know?
In game or in real life?
Both.
Yeah. Okay. In real life and in game, the bunny rabbit's peeing in the corner on some rocks. How am I gonna do this?
Should I change the color of the fire, or should I put a vague form in there?
Let's try to like figure out. I mean, we burn the bridge, right? Can we force them to go down the opposite tunnel that we're in, to like over the bridge, so we can bypass them to go up the stairs? Is that possible, Mr.
I burned the bridge, though.
Well, I mean, once they get to the bridge, like, we can sneak past there. I mean, they don't have to go over the bridge. They'll get to the bridge and see it's gone. And then we can sneak past.
We'll see what happens when we scare them with this fire. Maybe they'll run. Or they're going to go up the stairs and alert the big boss.
So, what we'll say is, if you guys want to sneak further down the path so that you can see the staircase up and like where it goes, that would be a stealth check. Like, you would need to try to stealth, otherwise alert the goblins. Or are we just going to, from where you guys are, cast these spells and try to just scare these dudes?
We're gonna I think we should heck them out and make them go like run towards the bridge.
Are all six of these goblins sitting within a 20 square foot?
20
foot square?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to cast Entangle.
Okay.
But it just says a creature in the area. You cast a spell, must succeed a strength saving throw, or be restricted by entangling plants until a spell. A creature restrained by the plants can use its action to make a strength check against your spell, save DC. On a success, it frees itself.
So, it's all difficult terrain, but you can only make one creature be actually entangled, yeah.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think? I think we should try to spook them.
Yeah, I think too.
Yeah, we can try.
All right.
Heck them out.
Is your dancing lights concentration?
It is, yeah. Well, I could cast Mold Earth and then Dancing Lights.
Is Mold Earth concentration?
Instantaneous.
Okay. But the thing is, that would be like a 6 second round. You know what I mean? So it sounds like what's gonna happen is a dancing figure of stars is gonna appear to light up the room even more, and then Preston is going to.
I'm gonna put a vague form of a cave bear.
Ooh, that'll freak him out.
Okay. Alright. Roll me, Preston, an intimidation check. I'm gonna say with advantage from the dancing lights. Well, you're granting him advantage, because I don't think your stars are very scary. But I think it would be the cave bear form of fire.
And then you say I got advantage?
Yeah, you got advantage. So that first one was a 10, which isn't great.
No, I'm going to try to do the old school way. Oh, God.
Oh, God. It's even worse.
Plus 10. One.
Okay. So we're looking at 10. What I'm going to do is These goblins are all obviously going to know something's going on, right? I'm going to roll 6d20s, and anyone below a 10, they are going to be frightened. Oh, God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so half of them. We'll say that half of these goblins, like, as soon as this happens, they, like, knock over, like, the little wooden stools they're sitting on and starts to back up in the corners. Those three are, for the most part, going to be out of the combat. The other three are going to stand up and start to kind of, like, look at what's happening, what's going on. So I think at this point, the best case scenario is just going to be us rolling initiative and having three people scared.
Ooh.
There we go. There's some nice rolls. Ooh. Okay. Okay.
Squish, you want to do a D69 roll off?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So it's going to be Squish, Preston, Bront, Gore, and then a couple goblins.
So theoretically, we could one-shot all these guys. There's four of us, three of them. We all go first, right?
Firebolts!
Let me just look at. I see a 16 actually, because they all have a plus two. Okay, so the 16. So there's gonna be somebody that goes before Gore and Beater. Brought. Go ahead, Squish.
Firebolt!
Who are you hitting with a firebolt?
Just one of the dudes. Just one guy.
Just any of the fuckers. Are you coming into the room at all, or where you stand? Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm gonna come in a little bit.
Once you come into the room, you see that those stairs that are leading up to the southern portion of the cave. Up there, you see that it is. You're in a large cave that's divided in half by this. It's about 15 feet high, this area where the stairs wrap up. And you see on that upper ledge, you see a bound and visibly beaten and bruised Sildar Hallwinter. And you see the biggest goddamn goblin you've seen yet up there next to him.
A daddy goblin?
A daddy goblin, yes.
Ella calls everything that's big a daddy. Like, if it's big, it's a daddy. If it's a medium, it's a mommy. If it's small, it's a baby. It's there's this big-ass snowman on her street. She's like, a daddy snowman. I was like, yeah, I guess.
So yeah, you see a daddy goblin up there with Sildar. A knocked out Sildar. If that's going to change anything.
I mean, how close to death is he?
I mean, you see that he looks like he's visibly unconscious at the moment. You see some blood and bruises sticking out. And he's like on the ledge of that 15-foot high cliff.
He was the dude that was on the horse, right?
He was the dude who was supposed to be escorting your buddy Gundren, yeah.
Oh, Gundam.
Gundam Warriors X.
I'm still going to hit a goblin.
Okay, just hit a rando goblin.
Yeah.
All right, blast him.
I cast it already.
15-4. Okay, yeah, you hurl a firebolt at a goblin around the fire. Okay, it's still standing. Not dead yet. Goblet of fire. Next up is Preston.
I'm going to run up to him a little. Oh, God, I didn't realize how shitty my walking speed was.
25?
Yeah. I'm going to do poison spray.
Okay, that hits two people?
And on the tip of my finger, it's like a little mushroom. It's my hippy-dippy finger.
Okay, so poison spray does only hit one. I was thinking of acid splash, I think. So it needs to make a con save, which has a plus zero to con. How's a 5 do me?
Not good.
So it's a d12 of poison damage? This thing's fucked. Maybe
you
not.
You get a whole three.
A whole three. Is that the one that already got hit by the firebolt or a different one?
Same one.
So this one gets hit by a firebolt, then you come up and boop it on its nest, the poison mushroom, and it just like grabs at its throat, it's coughing and hacking and falls to the ground dead. Next up is going to be the daddy. The daddy goblin. The daddy goblin is going to just walk up to the unconscious Sildar and put its sword to the back of his neck. And he's just going to say, in common, so everybody can understand this. All right. Enough fun and games. Are we cool? We're all cool here, right? And he's like pressing his scimitar to Sildar's neck.
I am cool if you are cool.
We're so fucking cool. Obviously, like...
How no, cool? Cool as ice?
Cool as ice. Cool as the tundra in November.
Cool
which is
as a cool as light?
Not quite that cool.
Cold as the Rockies?
Okay, I see where we're going here. This is going to be... Okay, listen. You all want this human, right?
Why, yes!
Okay, well, you all can have him. You can have him. You just need to kill my boss and just bring me his head. I don't like the guy, and you guys won't like the guy either. You guys just go. He's in this cave. You just got to go a little bit further. Kill him. Bring me his head. I let this. What's his name? What's this one's name?
Derek. Bob.
What?
I think his name is Bob.
That's a weird name. Bob. Okay. I'll let Bob live. But obviously, like, and nobody needs to get hit more than we've been hit. Everyone's been shot, stabbed, poked so many times. If you all just go and his name's Clark. It's at the end of the cave. You keep following the path that you all just came from. Just keep following that up.
So up the stairs.
Up the stairs. Up a roundabout. Kill Clark. Bring me his head, and then I just let Bob go.
Well, how much bigger is his balls?
His balls?
Oh, Clark? Clark's a lot bigger than me, and his balls are a lot bigger than mine. But that's just because he's a bugbear. So they're hairier, too, but...
What are we talking about?
No, apparently this goblin has a bugbear boss, a daddy, and we need to go kill him.
But do we kill the daddy or just the daddy?
Well, I can hear you, first off.
No, I'm whispering.
Let me roll perception to see if I hear you. That's a two. I didn't hear that. But, again, I do see you whispering, and I'm just going to say, like, again, I'm just going to reiterate, like, Clark might be harder to kill than me, which is why I won't kill him myself, but Clark doesn't have this bargaining chip, and he's like pressing the blade deeper into Sildar's neck.
We will do your bidding, but if you do us dirty, we will kill you.
Oh, I trust me. He's like looking around the room. There's that fried goblin and the one that was poisoned by the mushroom. We don't want any of that. No, not at all. No, we're just, we'll be cool. If you all be cool, you all just go take care of my employer.
All right, let's go fuck up this bugbear.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys could follow that path. You guys were at the like T intersection into this room. If you guys followed that path, it would lead you to a burned down bridge.
No, so it's not up the stairs in the room. It's another set of stairs.
So you guys are following this this pathway, and once you get here, this bridge right here is burned down. So you'll have to like scale down the wall and either go round or scale back up the other side?
Yeah, we want to go waterway, or
can we get on Beater Rottentail's back, like all of us, and he jumps over it?
Come on, I'm not that big.
I miss how big are you? Like just
like 5'5".
Okay. I was picturing
it's got a lot of strength, but not that much strength.
Okay.
You're pitching some giant.
I was in my head, I was picturing like 7-8 foot tall rabbit.
that's a kangaroo. Yeah.
He could have been a small, but I guess opted for the medium.
Yeah, I picked medium.
6'10", 325.
That's what I was picturing. I was picturing like a dragonborn size rabbit.
I don't know. How big's that gap?
Oh, the gap between the two, where the bridge was spanning, is probably like 20 feet.
20 feet? We could probably jump that. Do you think we'd jump that?
5e jumping. I think you can jump your movement speed.
I double jump. When you make a long jump, you cover number of feet up to your strength score if you move at least 10 feet on foot before the jump.
Yeah, so maybe with 20 strength could make that jump. Otherwise, you would not make that jump.
Dang.
I'd make it halfway and plummet to my death.
Or you could just scale down the wall and either scale up the opposite wall or follow the pathway.
I climb the wall.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to climb it.
Are you climbing the going up the opposite wall?
What do you guys want to do?
Yeah, I'll go up the opposite wall.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably better than going up the waterways. That looks like a long. Yeah, no, we'd probably go the way the path is taken, not the water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So what do I have to do?
To climb up. We'll just need a low athletics check. If you don't make it, it's only like a 15-foot climb, so it's just going to be embarrassing. So, Preston, that's your 4. You get like 3 feet up and then fall to the ground, and it's your buddies all see you.
Come on, Preston, try again.
Everybody else makes it up, Preston, and you're like kind of stumbling, trying to climb. There you go. Your second attempt, you get it, but everybody saw that first one, Johnny.
I know.
And they know.
They're all laughing at me.
I pat him on the back, and I'm like, it's all right, little guy.
How are we going deeper into this cave?
Head first.
It's just like, run, like, are we sneaking? Or are we?
I feel like we're just walking in, owning the place.
Just walking.
Yeah, pretend like we belong.
Okay, yeah. Well, you all sneak into, well, I guess you all walk into this large cavern. It's the biggest cavern you guys have been in yet. You guys see sacks and crates of looted provisions are all piled up in the south end of this large cave. To the west, the floor slips down towards a narrow opening that descends into darkness. And a larger opening leads to the north, where you guys all are, for a set of natural stone steps. You guys can hear the roar of water echoing from just behind you. You see a couple things, a couple people in here. You do see a roaring bonfire. You see an 8-foot tall bugbear who obviously is Clarg, sharing this cave with his pet wolf. And you see two goblins sitting and playing cards at a table, kind of a little bit of a distance away from Clarg.
Oh, I got it. I got a plan. Let's talk shit to Clarg and tell him the other guy sent us to take him out. And they'll handle each other.
I'm trying to read Adam's face to see if that works.
Yeah, he didn't. He's stone. He doesn't do anything. Well, he's got a poker face.
I was zoned out a little bit and thinking, should I make a fifth drink? I don't think so, but maybe.
Dude, I think we could probably turn these two on each other. Not have to do shit.
I say we try to do that. I'm gonna sneak up on him.
Whispered in his ear.
Hey, say we fell into their cave. We were here by mistake. And then you overheard this guy trying to kill Clark.
Hey, man. We were just going through the caves, right? Just adventuring, like we always do. And we overheard the, the daddy goblin. What was his name?
I don't remember. I just know it is daddy.
The big boy.
He stands up to his feet, and all fucking 9 feet of him, bristling with hair. You mean Yimik?
Yeah. And
he talks like a horse, kind of.
He was talking all kinds of shit about you.
He was talking bad about your mama.
Yep. And your daddy.
And your sister, too.
Yeah. And your sister.
And he said he's going to kill you.
And he said if it came down to it, you know, in a battle, he said he could take it.
Well, he said he's going to kill him.
Yeah, and he said he's going to kill you. And he said you have small nuts or small balls.
You don't shave.
He lifts up his long claw. He's like,
"Does it look like small nuts to you?"
Oh, no, sir. Wait, they look like
showed them to us?
Big balls.
He showed us his balls?
Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
I guess I did that.
I guess it happened. Fuck my head.
That's what a bugbear would do, I guess.
I say, those are the biggest balls I've ever seen. You should go kill that other guy.
I'm going to fist bump him.
He's got one hand holding his loin cloth up, and this fucking puddle of jelly comes up. He'll fist bump you back. I guess we're rolling on your 19 persuasion check.
Too busy making drinks.
Can I help him with that persuasion and give him advantage?
I don't think you need to. I guess a 19 is pretty good. Yeah, he'll follow you. He'll be like,
"Let's go see what Yimik has to say about these balls."
And he rips his loincloth off, I guess.
I was going to say, I wouldn't even wear that loincloth. Let him flow.
He starts leading E4. And he's bringing his wolf. The two goblins playing cards stay behind, though. And you guys go back to Yimik's little campfire.
All right, and I'm gonna cast another one of those light boys and make it rush at us, like they're trying to attack us. You know,
what's the goal of that?
To reinforce the idea that that guy's trying to kill him.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, he's making it look like he's killing this ball guy. God, what's his name? I keep getting these names lost.
The dude with the balls?
The balls guy.
In case DM Adam tries to make all of these guys turn on us.
Oh, man, that's a good point, Sean. I was going to have Clark's, a.k.a. balls guy, pretty agitated and, like, just filled with rage, and he was going to kind of like rush right in.
Do that, and then we're all sitting down eating our popcorn watching the UFC fight that's about to unfold.
I mean, I will say, before anything even pops off, you guys think that Yimik and his five, now that you guys killed one of the goblins, Yimik and his five goblins versus Clark and his one wolf is probably going to be pretty evenly matched. So you four will probably be the ones to tip the scale one way or the other.
Can't we just kill them all? Is that an option?
That is an option.
That definitely will be an option. You don't know if you don't know if Sildar is going to get caught in any kind of like crossfire or anything.
Yeah, we want to kill one first.
And then kill the weakened other one.
Can't we just dirt him up? Dirt up the guy that we're trying to save?
I guess we did establish that in canon, that Squish can just dirt up people.
Yeah, Squish, dirt him up.
Probably honestly want to kill the big guy first, so our guy isn't killed as a...
You mean the daddy goblin?
You know what I mean?
Collateral damage.
You mean kill the daddy goblin first?
Kill the big daddy balls guy.
No, oh, the balls guy. Okay.
So daddy.
So there's daddy balls man.
Yes.
And there's daddy goblin. And then there's baby goblins.
Because listen, if we kill just daddy, not balls guy,
yeah,
then if he sees us attacking him, he might go ahead and kill our hostage, like, just instant.
But our hostage is going to be dirted up in a case of dirt.
Encased in safe dirt.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, it's either or, you know?
It's plausible.
It's what we think. What we think is going to be better. We're going to kill one, and then we're going to kill the other. But
I think we should have them all fight each other. Dirt up the guy.
Just wait. Adam DM
have them combat each other. And then
that's what I was thinking.
And then when the last ones are standing, some stats.
Okay, I think I see where the plan's going real quick. Let me pull up some stats. Yeah, he sees where
it's going.
I'll do some fucking just rapid fire shit.
Make them fight each other, and then the last one standing will kill.
Yeah, and we'll piece what's left.
I'll like legitimately just like rapid fire fire off a couple of rolls. I might not.
But then you have to narrate it for 20 minutes.
He hits it for 10. No, he hits it for 20. It's going to be super 13.
Fucking fast. Okay, I got everybody's stats pulled up. Let me pull up a notepad. Here we go. All right.
This is going to be organized about it, right?
This is going to be super fucking organized. So, Clark, Daddy Goblin.
No, Big Balls, and Big Daddy.
Five Goblins, and Wolf. Okay, let me put everyone's health down, and shit's about to fucking pop off. And then, Mr. Hallwinter is going to be dirted up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean dirted up? Like, what's this mean?
Did you just miss
that? Did I miss that? I think I missed it.
Yeah.
I was peeing, I think.
Squish dirted me up in a cocoon of dirt.
Dirt what? Me up, Daddy.
Yeah, I said, dirt me up, Daddy, and cocoon me in a cocoon of dirt. How do you do that? I don't remember.
Mold Earth. He's got Mold Earth. He just dirts people up.
Dang.
I will say that we'll only give people full cover, but fuck it. It should be enough. Okay. Let me really quick do a bunch of wild
big
ass
combat
rolls.
Wait. Whose side are you guys fighting on?
It sounds like everyone's sitting back with some popcorn.
Yeah, we're waiting to see who wins, and whoever wins, we will kill.
Okay, so I kind of randomly put down like an initiative order, and I'm going to do that instead of rolling initiative for everybody.
Why don't you just write a program?
Well, I should
WordPad, man.
Well, first off, is going to be Daddy, Big Balls. And,
wait, does regular Daddy see us? Like, I'm worried if he sees us, he would be like, "Oh, he alerted them. He's gonna kill our buddy." Now.
Big Ball Daddy led the charge, so I don't think you guys have been noticed because of the big.
Harry. I just don't want Daddy to see us.
Okay. Oh God, this is such a sexually charged. And you know, hey, real quick, I'm gonna break the immersion. I feel like this may very well be the entry point to OSO for a lot of listeners for two reasons. One, it's the start of season two. So a lot of people probably will be like, oh, season two, I'll start there instead of like starting all the way back to season one. And for two, it being the Lost Mine of Pandelver, the starter edition campaign, a lot of people are probably going to be like Googling for, that campaign podcast. So I think a lot of new listeners are going to be kind of thrust into this adventure. And we usually are about this crass, but usually we don't say like daddy and hairy balls quite as much. It's usually like maybe like 40%.
Man, you brought the balls up, man.
No, I don't think I brought the balls up. Somebody else did.
Let me rewind to 10 minutes. And when I said Ella calls everything big is daddy. Yes.
Yeah.
It has nothing.
Oh, blame on Ella, man.
Everything You're going blame your 2-year-old daughter. She's eventually going to grow up. And like, even if she is when she's a teenager, this will probably be somewhere.
She might listen to this.
But this will be somewhere on the internet that she can be like, what did my dad get into?
You guys are the ones that made it sexual. I'm saying, big is daddy, medium size is mommy, and little is baby. And
but where does the balls come in to play? I don't remember.
You're the one that made the balls thing.
Did I really?
Yes. You said he just whipped up his loin.
No, one of you guys said he's got small balls.
Yeah, and you're like, watch these big balls.
Well, yeah, because one of you guys said he had small balls and he wanted to show them off the goods.
See, you can go ahead and tell the listeners that the daddy thing was not sexual.
Not at all.
No.
Let's do this fucking high-speed combat real quick.
Kill this combat, man. Just kill it.
But Big Boss Man rolled a natural one.
Nice. Is that good?
No, I don't think so. Because he's going to be running up to Yimik, the daddy goblin.
I'm going to get smacked in the face.
And he is going to, try to attack with his mace, which is going to be a natural one, and that's not going to hit. Next up was going to be Daddy Goblin, back to Yimik. Let's see what Yimik can get into. Yimik will then just straight up try to attack him with a scimitar. That's going to be a 13 for 5 points of damage. That is, of course, not going to hit. This is going to be a really long thing. We got 5 goblins that are going to be attacking the wolf. I'm just going to real quick just boop, boop.
Do a single roll.
Boop, boop. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boop. So the wolf is going to get hit for a total of... Oh, man, if this dog dies, I'm going to be so... Oh, that dog is super dead. The dog got sliced up by 3 of the goblins, so we can go ahead and take him out of the equation. And then we will now go... we will skip the wolf. We will go to Clarg. Clarg is back up. Clarg is again just going to straight up try to attack Daddy Goblin. That's for a 6, unfortunately. I think the Daddy Goblin is going to get really fucked up here. Yeah. 23 to hit for 3 slashing damage, and the other goblins are going to start climbing the stairs to the hairy ball guy. We'll have them all kind of surrounding him. Now you see just the big, towering, like 9-foot-tall bugbear surrounded by like 6 goblins. But he's going to keep trying to attack Yimik, aka Daddy Goblin. Finally, he's going to hit for a total of...
Wait, did we roll initiative?
No, you guys were kind of like sitting back watching this.
We're watching the UFC.
But the Daddy Goblin just hit, the Big Ball Bugbear just hit the Daddy Goblin for 20 points of damage. Damn, he smooshed him. It's like when the Hulk is swarmed by like a lot of like little random like non-plot armor like NPCs, and the Hulk is just like shaking them all off. He straight smooshes Daddy Goblin. Daddy Goblin is gone. Now there are just 5 baby goblins.
Aww.
Don't aww. They're all stabbing and poking him, but...
oh, God.
It's
no.
But it goes back to him again. He rolls a 17 to hit. Yeah, he's going to smoosh another one. Damn, this is going to be... So now it's 3v1? No, 4v1. 3v1, because he smooshed another one.
You have to like, overlay combat music while you're talking to yourself.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be rough. Damn. Okay. He ends up killing them all but two goblins, and two random goblins are able to take down the big ball bugbear. And those two goblins look very winded and very bloodied and sweaty. How would we like to proceed now? You see that Sildar is still dirted up.
I want to engage those goblins.
All right, let's do it. It's just two random ass goblins now.
Roll for initiative.
We'll say that they just took their turn, so we'll say that you guys can kind of like whatever order you guys want to establish between yourselves.
The Squish is already fireball.
Squish rolled a firebolt. Squish killed one. While you guys are kind of planning your attack, you see Squish conjure up a firebolt and hurl it at one of the goblins and just melt him.
Damn, that was a beast firebolt on accident.
Who wants to, of you other three, who wants to take Eldritch the first
blast?
Okay, all right, go and roll it. A 7 will kill it if you can actually hit it. 19 will hit it. You hurl this Eldritch. I'm gonna have to save the noise for Eldritch Blast because I feel like I'm gonna be using that a lot for the next 2 years. But yeah, you hurl this bolt up. What does your Eldritch Blast look like? Let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
It's a big like. Do you know like what a Chaos Bolt looks like in World of Warcraft?
Uh huh. Yeah.
It's like that. No, but not green. It's purple.
Okay, yeah. Mixing like together, kind of black. Swirling at this thing as it hits it and knocks it and drops it.
And then Squish and I look at each other with, like, acknowledgement, like, yeah, we just fucking did that.
And, yeah, you guys are able to approach up the walkway and make it to the dirted-up Sildar, who I guess you could kind of, like, drop the wall of dirt around him, and you can tell like he's breathing, though he is unconscious, but he does not look very great. He looks like he's seen better days.
I give him CPR with my beak.
That probably wouldn't be great. We probably need at least like you could probably do like a medicine check to at least like stabilize him or heals or just give him some time to recoup.
I medicine him.
Medicine him up. Let's do it. Oh, 12. That's not bad. We will say that, yeah, you, what kind of medicine you give him to kind of help him out and stabilize him a bit?
Birdseed.
Okay, yeah, you drop a couple birdseed and you got like a dropper of like pure sugar or like honey to drop into his mouth, kind of give him a little bit of calories and some carbs.
I chew up birdseed and I spit it in his mouth. Like,
God, he's not gonna be happy about that when he wakes up. maybe like 20 minutes go by while you guys are kind of like resting and trying to plan your next course of action before he starts to stir and starts to wake up. Hello, everybody. It is your Dungeon Master, Adam DeWeese here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of One Shot Onslaught. Hope you all are enjoying this little mini campaign we're doing before we get back into the DM's Guild One Shots we usually do. We'll be running that with this crew. This campaign's usually level 1 through 5. I think we're going to try to get the guys out a little earlier, around level 3. So that we can still do some of those first tier one shots from DM's Guild that are so fun. I want to give a big thank you to all of our current patrons. Thank you so much, Tion H, Lawful Stupid Podcast, Aaron G, Bradley M, Chelsea, Christian S, Danny T, Jeremy Fair, Ken H, Caster, Dark Elf Daddy, Derpy Sick, Farty McFry, Jurundu, Hot Ketchup, Mosey, Patrick C,
Rachel, a.k.a. Dragonbait, Remus S., and Tanya S. Thank you all so much for supporting the Majestic Goose Network. If you want to get your name on this list and some cool bonus content, you can head over to patreon.com/majesticgoose. The channel is growing so much. We're up to 14 shows about to be once we release our new show, Crits and Knits, next month. Crits and Knits is going to be a D&D 5e podcast and Twitch stream. The debut Twitch stream is going to be February 2nd. 1 week from tomorrow, if you're listening to this the day that it goes out. It is a group of knitters that will spend the first couple minutes of the stream knitting and showing off their progress from the previous stream, and then they will get into the actual Dungeons & Dragons campaign, where they are all playing elderly, retired adventurers that, for one reason or another, have to pick up their sword and get back to the life of adventuring. I'm very, very excited for it. It will also be a bi-weekly podcast as well. So make sure to keep your eyes open for that in February when that hits podcatchers everywhere. You may have noticed that we are going to start doing, from here on out, ad breaks in the episode. We're aiming for just one mid-roll where there will be a stinger that will be played to let you know, hey, here's an ad break. And then there should just be 1 to 2 30 to 60 second mid-roll that will be dynamically inserted. Usually those will be my voice, sometimes not always. This is to help, like I mentioned, the channel is growing up to 14 shows now, and this is just another way to help us support all those shows. If you sign up to be a patron, we are in the process of getting a fully ad-free feed set up for our patrons. At the moment, we still release episodes early and ad-free when possible, but here coming soon, within this next month, you will be able to get access to feeds for all of the shows in the network where there will be no dynamically inserted ads. So just another reason to check out our Patreon page. Last huge update is we are planning to do GooseCon hopefully in October. Right now, we are looking at October 7th, 8th, and 9th. As a potential winner, it will be in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it will have nearly everybody from the network. We're hoping to try to get everybody from the network down into Cincinnati. We're going to be having some kind of fundraiser project for that here soon, either Kickstarter or something. Keep your eyes peeled. We'll be blasting that all over our Discord at bit.ly/oneshotdiscord and our Twitter at oneshotonslaught. So just make sure you're following us all there to stay up to date. And just thank you all so much for listening. It means the world to us. Thank you for all of your 5-star rating and reviews. If you haven't yet left one, go ahead and leave it. I'll read it at the end of one of these episodes. And yeah, I will let you get to these outtakes now. See you all in 2 weeks. Bye, buddy.
Adam, are you standing up?
I am standing up.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a different energy when I stand up, and I like it.
I need a stand desk.
I do, too.
I can stand up. You guys can just see my belly.
Yeah, let's all stand up.
Yeah, I can just lower my desk and just stand up, and you guys see my dick.
Look at that
freshly shaved belly of Justin, aka Gore Glutton. This week's episode is sponsored by Manscaped.
Wait, you did shave. Do you use that trimmer for that?
I told you I shaved my entire body.
Is that trimmer as good as using a razor or what?
Almost.
Dustin, yes, no. It's even better. Use promo code H2H at checkout to get 20% off any purchase at manscaped.com. And be like Justin. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, you airdropping me some tokens?
Ooh.
Oh, tokens. No. Some of my shit froze.
Smite.
I'm trying to... So I'm dropping that map right there. You guys are just past the pathway on the right.
It's a virus.
And it is a virus. So, and it's also an image, but it's also a virus. I double dipped.
It's a picture of a virus.
Don't touch it. It's a picture of COVID-19.
A Majestic Goose podcast.
Honk.